We're discussing the massive stimulus relief package and one aspect of it that would pay off federal loans and expand land access for farmers of color. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke with NPR's All Things Considered Saturday about how black farmers have faced generations of systemic discrimination.
The fact is that there was discrimination in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s at USDA that made it very difficult for socially disadvantaged producers to access fully and completely the programs at USDA. And the result, of course, is that over a period of time, they get further and further behind.
Do you have a connection to the legacy of black farming in America? What can you share about your experience in agriculture? 800-642-1234. Savi Horn is an attorney and executive director of the Land Loss Prevention Project. It's based in Durham, North Carolina. Savi, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Wow. Kate, thank you. Thank you for this invitation.
Well, can you explain for us what this $5 billion means for farmers of color?
Sure. And I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. So I think the main takeaway that I would like to uplift for our listeners is that the BIPOC legislation really goes deeply into what we believe are current justice issues that have been long-standing in the agency. It is carefully crafted and considered. The findings undergirding this legislation is clearly spelled out in the act. And the legislation provides $4 billion in direct payments to help farmers of color pay off outstanding USDA loan debts and related taxes. And that's key. The money is not the money will eventually benefit the USDA and retire debts so that BIPOC farmer, black, indigenous, people of color farmer can get out of debt.
And the package also sets aside money for an equity commission, agricultural training, land access programs. What impact will this part of it make?
Well, I think the only way you can root out systemic discrimination, as you know, been studies. There's been commissions to look at this problem. There has been a class action that has been settled. But this is like continuing discrimination and discrimination that was not cured in the past, and farmers, they are still in debt. And so we believe that by getting at the debt and looking at equity, and equity is a big part of this legislative package in the sense that monies is already appropriated in the legislation to look at fixing the equity, the disparity problems that the USDA has been experiencing for decades. Our farmers have experienced it. We've seen the tremendous land loss, and now we have seen the impact, the cumulative impact of this during the COVID period, in which our farmers, BIPOC farmers, suffered disproportionately from health issues and deaths due to COVID.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Savi Horn, who is an attorney and executive director of the Land Loss Prevention Project. We're talking about farmers of color and especially black farmers who have faced decades of discrimination by federal officials, federal programs. We're looking at the implications. With your questions, what do you want to know about the history of black farming in America? 800-642-1234. Savi, can you explain how over the last century, how black farmers have lost their land, have not received equal access to USDA programs?
Okay, so thanks for that question. Well, when you look at the fact that 50 years after the end of slavery, by 1910, African Americans had over 15 million acres of farmland with close to a million farmers, if you will. Farmers working full-time, part-time, and tenant farmers farming this land. And that by the Great Depression, that was reduced to half. And during the period when we were fighting for our social, economic, and political rights, which is known as the Civil Rights Era, Black land ownership drastically fell to 6 million acres. So you're going from 15 million to 6, and it's even more drastically reduced. I can let folk know that between 1954 and 69, the number of full-time operators that were African-Americans dropped from 126,000 to 52,000. That's a 59% decline, 59% decline. And I can, you know, because we're based in North Carolina, dig a little deeper just to kind of just show you just like the numbers are not lying. And the objective conditions that led to it is being addressed in this new BIPOC legislation. And this is the reason. The reason was that between 1954 to 1969, and that is a classic period of the civil rights movement in North Carolina. In 1954, you had close to 1.1 million acres of land being held by Black farmers. And by 1969, you had 558,000. That's a 49% wow. decline. Now, when you look further at the data, you will notice that by 1978, okay, it showed 400,000 acres. And that by 2007, there were only 133,000 acres of land.
Drastic reduction of land ownership.
Yes. And so folk like to say, well, it's all heirs' property, you know, like it's all Black people kind of getting at themselves and squabbling and seizing land. No, those seizures were happening under state law and being facilitated by developers and other forces that were seeking Black-owned land. And the USDA played an outsized role in terms of the discriminatory impact of its loan system, the way the county committees did not support the recovery of Black farmers through disaster payments, through emergency loans. This became cumulative.
Why?
And we now see where we're at today.
Why could the USDA go unchecked like this?
Well, there were a number of tries to uncheck. I mean, you got to look back in the times that this was happening and the political persuasion of the country. So that even in 1982, when you had the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the Commission on Civil Rights, doing a study on Black farmers and squarely found, you know, that most Black farmers were being denied access to USDA programs, and as a direct result of being shut out, that Black farmers in another 10 to 15 years would not survive as a distinct sector within the U.S. agriculture system. So findings after findings, congressional hearings, but you still had a recalcitrancy at the local level where that the persuasion held sway that Black farmers were going to be shut out of access to USDA programs. Yeah, they'll get some loans, but it was so late in the season that it didn't matter.
Savvy Horn, she leads the Land Loss Prevention Project, founded nearly 40 years ago by the North Carolina Association of Black Farmers to reconcile epidemic losses of Black-owned land. What are your thoughts on these provisions addressing the needs of Black farmers? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Savvy Horn here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing a part of the COVID relief package aimed at benefiting farmers of color who are socially disadvantaged, specifically the historic inequities Black farmers have faced through the decades we've been learning about here. Farmers of all backgrounds will share in $10.4 billion through the American Rescue Plan. Almost half of those funds are set aside for debt forgiveness for minority farmers. How do you think the USDA should make up for past discriminatory practices? What do you think of a new equity commission to study how the USDA works? Join in 800-642-1234. Savi Horn is executive director of the Land Loss Prevention Project, and she stays with us. Let's bring in a call now. Jeff is joining us from Delafield. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question on the statistics of the number of the reduction in the number of Black-owned farms over the years. It's an interesting statistic, but we've seen the same thing in Wisconsin with the loss of family-owned dairy farms. There's been article after article written about that, and probably call-in programs on this very radio station about how we're losing our small family farms, and that's really due to changes in agricultural practices, the bigger getting bigger and pushing out the small of all colors. So I'm wondering how much of that loss of Black-owned farms is simply due to changes in agricultural practices rather than discriminatory practices, not that there aren't any, in the USDA. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you. Savi.
Yes, that's a good question. But the answer is that the discrimination against African American, Native American is rooted in racism and systemic exclusion based on race and ethnicity. And yes, I do agree with you that there has been losses in the dairy industry, but what we're saying is that BIPOC farmer, yes, they lost land and resources due to economic pressure that were market driven, but because of their exclusion, they were never able to make that transformation where they could actually participate and become larger players within the U.S. agricultural system. They never got from base one to base two, and they couldn't hit the home run because of how the system had been historically structured to make sure that they wouldn't thrive.
Can you
And I think that's what we got to remember. They couldn't thrive.
Can you explain how the Pigford settlements were handled and how that layers into this? The USDA paid out $2.3 billion to Black farmers through two class action lawsuit settlements, Pigford 1 and Pigford 2. What happened there? What did you see?
Well, I think on the Pigford 1 and 2, you had close to about $1.5 billion in settlement, but it didn't go far enough in terms of the debt relief and definitely didn't get to the place of debt cancellation. And then there were also continuing discrimination. You still had a pileup of civil rights complaint waiting to be adjudicated and determined at the agency that sat there, and some of them are still there today. So for many in Pigford, the settlement was not enough. There was no healing. There was no real transformation of the agency in terms of the endemic and systemic discrimination and the curing of that.
Do you
I don't think Congress made a mistake. They clearly laid out the findings, and it's about mass and systemic loss of farmland due to racial discrimination.
Savi, do you consider this rescue package and this piece of it, do you consider this to be reparations for Black farmers?
Absolutely, I do not. I think in the jubilance, if you will, Kate, of having such a victory, I mean, this was momentous, that some of us leap to that conclusion. But that conclusion is problematic because the money is not going to repair the farmers. It's not going directly to them. It's going to cancel debt, and this debt money will return to the agency as paid, and the extra bit of money that's in there will retire the taxes associated with that. So the farmer walks away from it whole in the sense that you're debt-free, but you still will have to figure out how you can re-enter agriculture. And that's the key to this provision, that it has those pieces of how to re-enter and replant African-American, Hispanic, Latinx, and indigenous people in rural communities. When you look at the studies that have been done by William Darity, a professor of public policy at Duke, he himself said flat out that this was pittance, and that when you look at the metrics going back to the zenith of Black land ownership, that you'd be looking at 250 to 350 billions. I think also Professor, let me get his name right, I'm just going to cut it short, Hikmet at Amherst College, he did a study looking at the classic civil rights period and found that Black farmers were losing land at 330 acres per year, and that when he adjusted for the value during that period, it was about $1 billion, but in today's dollar, close to between $8 to $10 billion. So no, this is not reparations. It's not going to the pocket of farmers. It's retiring debt owed to the government. Nobody is walking out with money in their pocket.
We're talking with Savi Horn, who leads the Land Loss Prevention Project. We're looking at the COVID relief package and the provision that will forgive debts for farmers of color. We're looking at the implications and the history. 800-642-1234. Susan is joining us from Richland Center. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm a white woman, and, you know, I've never been treated the greatest, but this is my problem. You know, it is not the farmers this today that caused all this, these problems. But now they're getting discriminated against. Isn't this discrimination against whites? I'm sorry that this happened, but I didn't do it. My ancestors did. So now we're going to do the same exact thing. We're going to keep out the white people because...
Susan, I want to pause here and allow Savi to respond.
Well, the thing is, this is not reparations. We're not going back to your grandfather. We are looking at continuing discrimination that is documented by the USDA that is continuing.
And
it is to rebalance the scale of justice, as Secretary Vilsack is saying. It's not going back in time to assess blame on the part of white folk on that piece of that historic journey, but to deal with the current discriminatory impact.
Very quickly, Savi, what is the significance of Senator Raphael Warnock from Georgia, the new Democratic senator, being the one who pushed this forward, sitting on the Senate's Agriculture Committee and bringing social justice to the body?
Well, thank you for that question, Kate, because when we center Reverend Warnock and we look, Senator, at where he's from, whence he came, and look at the fact that Southwest Georgia is part of the historical Black Belt of the South, a region that was subject to plantation, slavery, racial oppression, economic oppression, but also a region of hope. that had a forceful civil rights movement that made changes, right? Including the changes brought about by the movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King. So he is situated in a history that made what he attempted to do and has done significant. But he's building on a history of dealing with discrimination and forming measures to deal equitably and fairly within the structure.
Savi, thank you for joining us. Savi Horn is an attorney and executive director of the Land Loss Prevention Project. News is next on the Ideas Network.